Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Rhys Darby and Dan Schreiber.
Hello and welcome to the Cryptid Factor. I'm Rhys Darby, and with me, of course, my cohorts, Dan Schreiber.
Hello, hello.
And the one and only Buttons.
Hello. I don't know what happened then. I don't know how that came out all weird. Sorry.
Where are you? Are you sitting with the Queen?
I'm,
yeah. Yeah. You might be one of these people that assimilates to the person that they're with. You know, you get these people that you hang. I mean, I'm a bit of one of those sometimes. You hang out with certain people who've got accents or whatever, and or they've got a sort of a way of being, yeah. And within minutes you sort of become them.
That's what I do. That's exactly
you
what
do
I do.
You do that, don't
yeah.
you?
Well, that's sometimes when I'm around you, my voice goes all kind of squeaky and kind
oh,
of.
Oh, how dare you?
No, I mean, well, I am around a queen at the moment, around my friend Mike. I've come all the way to Vancouver, and so I'm in Vancouver now, guys.
Vancouver. So in the gosh, sorry, I'm talking. Gosh, you're hard to keep up with. What? Why are you there?
Well, I don't know. Just for excitement,
top
for fun.
Top secret, is it?
Top secret. I'm on the hunt. I'm on the hunt for something.
Oh, okay.
Don't know what I'm hunting for yet.
Well, it's funny you should say that you're looking for something, because we're all looking for something, folks. And this week, it's really, I mean, that just sprung to mind as a nice springboard feature. God, I wish I hadn't started this paragraph.
Paragraph.
When you're talking, are they counted as paragraphs? I mean.
I think when you're talking that much, yeah.
No, I think, like. I mean, it's not written down what you say. Imagine if you had to write everything down that you said, like. Everything you did was scripted. So you had to get up before you could speak to your wife or whatever, you had to write it down. And so, and then all your conversations throughout the day, you'd sort of write, you'd type it out first and you'd think about what you want to say and it's all typed out. And then you've got to learn it and then you do it. And if you go off script, yeah, the other person can tell and they go, you didn't write that down, did you?
it'd be great though, because you could get people to revise your script before you talk. You're like yeah. speechwriter.
Yeah.
So if you were that way inclined, you could get people to make you sound a lot cleverer.
That's right. You could, before you start talking, just show whoever you're talking to, show them your script that you've written. And then they look at it and they go, oh, no, you're not. Is that what you're going to talk about?
I wouldn't say it like that.
Yeah, and then you go, hang on, how come you're talking? Have you written this down, what you're saying? And then he hands you a bit of paper and that's what he's written on it. It says on there, oh, you're not going to say that, are you? So he knew that your stuff was going to be crap. I mean, look, so let's pull it all back. Let's pull it all back to what I was going to say, the searching for things, searching for little things. This week is the fairy special. Are you fairly special? Yes. Then listen to this fairy special. So this is the second in a group of shows we're going to do that sort of hone in on one cryptid. And this week we've gone with fairy folk, which is actually, as you'll see as we discuss them further in the show, a huge world that isn't as tiny as you may think.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, it encapsulates a lot of different beings from fairyland. But listen, that's all coming up.
It sounds like you're going to go, well, there's Hansel and Gretel, there is.
Well, I'm just looking at what I've scripted. And
have you gone off script again? Have you gone off script?
I have. I might have to. And if you do go off script, you've got to write it in. So I'm going to have to just write a lot of what I just said in now. Hang on. You guys take over.
Well, here's something weird. Buttons, you just said Hansel and Gretel, and it's just occurred to me that that's a fairy tale, but there's no fairies in that tale. And I just realized I don't know why do we call them fairy tales? I have no idea.
I know why.
Oh.
And we'll be getting to that later on in the show.
Oh, wow.
Ah. Yeah. So remember that question, and I'll re-ask
that question a little bit later and pretend that question never happened. Pretend you didn't script that question and script it again a little bit later on.
before we hone in on fairy folk, let's kick off with our normal routine, which of course is
Weekly World Weird News.
Crazy, freaky, watch out.
Okay, well, this week we're just going to cover two news stories, and they're both cryptid related. The first is there's a mystery kangaroo spotted in Austria. Did you guys read about this?
Certainly did.
Yeah, well, I saw it in the news.
Yeah, it's gone viral. It's everywhere. BBC picked it up, so you know it's real. Kangaroos, of course, usually in Australia. Now, close, but no cigar, Austria.
I know.
Now, I wonder whether the kangaroo, I like to think maybe it was either backpacking or working in a pub in the UK, got drunk and you know, realised his two-year working visa had run out, and someone said, "Dude, you better get back home, mate." And so, and he's sort of got on a train, because he's an Aussie, he's not too sure how to get home, thought he'd go, you know, via Europe, which you can obviously from King's Cross, ends up over there and he starts talking, "Oh, where's Australia?" And next thing he knows, someone's pointed to Austria. They can't understand his accent.
So he's
hopping around Austria.
Well, you're not too far away from the truth, because there is legit stories of people who have hopped on a plane, turned up in Austria in the middle of the snow and had nothing but board shorts and t-shirts and flip-flops, expecting to have gone to Australia where it's hot and warm. And one story was actually covered in the news, where a young guy actually had to then call his parents and get his parents to wire him money and explain to them how he had accidentally bought a ticket to the wrong country. It's a terrible phone conversation to have with your dad.
Well, hang on. Just because that happened, that doesn't confirm Reese's theory about the kangaroo having done exactly.
I thought so. I thought that was, you know, I thought it legitimised it.
That's not. No, this is probably true, because I know this guy who.
But look, isn't it great that there are that many stupid people in the world that kind of stuff happens?
Yeah.
There's a little video of the kangaroo in question jumping around in a paddock. So you can see it here, right?
Yep.
Here's the video. There it is. There it goes.
Amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's definitely a kangaroo. It's only a small one.
Yeah.
As you can see.
This is an interesting point that it's small, because I was wondering what size it would be, because in New Zealand, I found out that they actually have wallabies, and wallabies are effectively a little small rodent of a kangaroo. It has exactly the same. Are they part of the same family? They must be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're the small ones.
Yeah, but they're a lot smaller. And I only found this out because many years ago, I was riding my mountain bike through the forest in the middle of New Zealand, and I came around the corner, and there's this little kangaroo jumping in front of me, and I had no idea that these these creatures were in New Zealand. And I thought, I all of a sudden had thought I had found a cryptid, and I got very excited and I started whooping and hollering and yelling at other mountain bikers, and they pulled up and said, yeah, it's a wallaby, you idiot, and then kept riding on. And so it could well be, is it a wallaby or is it a kangaroo?
Yeah, it looks wallaby-ish to me.
No, well, they say it's an actual kangaroo. They say it could be a Bennett kangaroo, which can withstand cool temperatures well. And that's someone from the Schmidding Zoo. So the theory is that it's escaped from a zoo, either in Austria or perhaps even Germany, and wow. has crossed the border. It's not the first time that's happened. Apparently, in 2015, local media reported sightings of the exact thing, an escaped pet from Germany, which had, and you can see here, there's one on a soccer field. Yeah. As well.
Are they breeding now then? Are they actually breeding, and is there a population of them there now?
No. This is just two single instances, 2015 and 2018. Could be the same one, the return of the of the kanga.
There was another one in 2016, actually.
Is it news just in, is it?
Yeah, just in. Just in from 2 years ago. It's possibly a pet called Paul who escaped.
Paul the kangaroo.
Yeah, and the 2015 one was called Anton.
Anton, that's amazing. But see, this is my question. Why? How do we know that there's not a population of them? They're presuming it's just a one-off, but there could be a population of them. How would they know?
It's possible, yeah. You never know. You know, when the when Europeans first saw kangaroos, they thought they had two heads because they'd see the joey coming out of the pouch and assumed that that was a sort of second mini head that belonged to the kangaroo.
Oh, yes. I love that. I love that.
So cool.
Now, here's the weird part that I didn't bring up. Whilst a kangaroo has been spotted in Austria, you're never going to guess what's happened in Australia.
There's a Nazi who's been spotted.
Well done, Dan.
No, let's get into that.
That is the joke I was going for. I wasn't going to bring up a Nazi. Because, first of all... That's Nazi Germany was a long time ago. Now, we need to move on from that.
I can say that.
Oh, you are? You're part Austrian?
Yeah, Schreiber. My grandpa was Austrian.
All right.
Oh, of course. Well, was he? He wasn't a... No. He wasn't... No.
No. I mean... I'm probably going to just... Even if he wasn't, I'm going to say yes right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Actually, funny story, Leo.
No, I mean, a kangaroo. He wasn't a kangaroo. What did you think I was going to say? He wasn't... I mean, he wasn't... God.
I think we need a new segment called Shribes Gets Away With It Again. And where whatever we're talking about, he'll pop in a little Nazi bit, and I'll start going, "Hey, come on now," and then he'll go, "Come on, eh? I'm from Austria,"
and my grandfather was a anyway,
yeah. and then the little tune, Shribes does it, Shribes gets away with it again, Shribes. No Nazis were hurt in this recording. So let's move on to the next cryptid sighting. A mystery sea serpent filmed in Tynemouth in the UK. Have you guys caught up with this one?
No,
I haven't.
God, I do everything. What are you guys actually, what have you been doing?
I've been reading about fairies like I thought we had
Oh, that's right. Yeah, good. Forgot about that. And we're going to get to that very soon. I know there's a few big fairy fans who are just on the edge of their seats. All right, well, who cares about sea monsters? When are we going to talk about the fairies?
Get to the fairies already, yeah. Bloody hell.
Let me just briefly update you guys on this mystery sea creature seen in a river in the UK in Tynemouth. There's a little video here. I'm going to do another. I'll do another share screen.
He's gonna do another share screen, Miss Money Penny.
Is he?
Yes.
Who is?
Reese.
What's he doing in here in the secret headquarters?
He's gonna do a share screen, Michelle.
Okay, James. Oh, look, I've spent so much time on that, but I can't work out how to do this share screen. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Oh, wow. That's really good.
It's pretty good. Kevin Burton gets the credit.
Wow.
That's the guy's name.
What do you reckon that is? Is that an oar? It almost
it looks like an oarfish.
Yeah.
Or an eel. But wait till you see. It's a weird shape. And he eventually zooms out, so you get to see the scale of it. And it looks like it's about 6 foot long. Some people have thought that it's just a bit of something, you know, driftwood, or not so much wood, but a bit of just something. See, look at it move there.
Oh,
look at that.
Yeah.
See?
No, because it's not driftwood, because it's moving and it's like snaking.
Unless it was, it is doing a sort of a slow serpentine movement, but there it is again. And you can see it's almost looks long and flat in a vertical way. And you can see from when he zoomed out there that, you know, it's of a decent size.
Yeah, it's massive. Mm.
And he was apparently just having a cup of coffee and just filming that. Now, here's my question. Why not get up at this point and go down? You can see how he just needs about 10 metres away, tottle off down there, even scale that fence and get in the water and pick the goddamn thing up.
Yeah.
I know.
If that's the ultimate moment of someone capturing something on and the guy decides in all the wisdom to zoom out.
I tell you what, people probably need to see this from a distance. I've got what I've done here. My problem here is I've gone in too close. You've got too much detail. Yes, you should zoom out. Oh, it's Miss Moneypenny.
What's she doing there?
I forgot I was in Miss Moneypenny's office.
So you've come here to show me that, have you?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I'm hoping I can be a secret agent.
Yes, well, I met him down at the pub when I said to him, look, Come down to Moneypenny's and show if you can do a screen share.
And I was like, yeah, I can do, yeah, absolutely, on Zoom.
And so I said, well, bring your computer, bring that down to Miss Moneypenny's office and do a screen share with her and see what she thinks.
Sorry?
See what she thinks.
Sorry?
See what she thinks.
Nah, I'm not following that.
All right, this is him.
Oh, God, it's him. Look, it's him.
Who's that guy?
It's me, Reese.
Oh, great.
Come through.
Oh, great.
I'm in.
Yep, you're in. You're on the next 00. Oh, sure, I don't know about Ash.
What?
What are you saying, James?
I don't know. I don't know. She's... Look, I got to be honest with you. I took my teeth out today, this morning, and I haven't put them back in.
Oh, God. And that's why he's retiring.
Is it?
Yeah, they're looking for a new bond.
how much would you pay, Reese, if you put a monetary value on it, to become a 00, a 008, or whatever it would be, like to become a James Bond?
Yeah, well, here's my question for you. You're saying, let me get this straight, that I would have to pay money to be cast as James Bond.
So no, not cast.
I'm a professional actor. I've done huge movies. And you're saying, how much would you pay to be cast? That's the only way I'm going to be Bond?
Yeah.
No way!
It's just I know a few producers, few film producers, and they've told me that if you give them a little bit of money and...
Mate.
Yeah.
You, sometimes, I think... You're away with the fairies.
Nice transition. Saved me from my own fate.
That's exactly right. So now, fairies. Now, how this is going to work, we're going to do a little bit of history, what fairies are, what we think of them. Dan's got some facts. Buttons has got some eyewitness accounts of people who have seen and little people. And by the way, when we talk about fairy folk, we're also sort of expanding that out to anything mythical of a small nature that has been around on this planet since millennia. Is that something people say?
It's in the territory, yeah.
Okay, cool. and then I've got some what I'm calling fairy theories, which I thought was quite clever. Imagine saying that in a hurry. And then
I can not only imagine it, I can do it. Watch. Fairy theories. Fairy theories.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
And then we're going to end, of course, on another poem, another cryptid poem which I've written.
That's exciting.
These poems, that was the best bit of the last show.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm tempted to just skip to the poem now. But if we want to do a bit of this hoo-ha, then we might as well give it a whirl.
For the first time, I've actually done some research and prepared, and you want to skip straight to the poem.
I will say one more thing before we dive into fairies, and that's some unfortunate news, but this week, Darby's Disclosures has been pulled.
What?
What?
Yeah. I've had to cut the segment. I actually got a letter from an unknown source. I'll read the letter.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've got it here.
This is a real problem because when I say I had researched, what I meant to say was I was going to research whilst you were doing Darby's Disclosures. So this is a real problem.
Oh, that is classic Buttons.
Oh, no.
Spends 8 hours getting the technical sides of things wrong. And then when we start the show, he then does his research.
Well, you know,
there's other podcasts in the world that are completely prepared. You know, I've listened to a few, and they're scripted. They've got people who are, you know,
professional.
Professional. I can't even say the word. I can't even come up with it. It's not even in my realm. But I think you'll agree this is way more fun. Now, here's this letter. Now, listen, imagine getting this in the mail. I've got it here. I'll show you.
It's an actual letter. A real letter.
I'll read it. Dear Mr. Darby, it's no name available here. You may have seen me following you around lately. It's not because I'm a fan, although I am. I particularly like your latest work on TBS's Wrecked.
Oh.
Tuesday nights, 9 central. I know he's given a few details there. However, I regret to inform you that your must-see segment, I don't know why he's put that in there, which, by the way, is excellent. Oh, he's fully into it. Darby's Disclosures must be taken off air as soon as possible. Your life, and more importantly, your career, is at stake.
What?
He's put here. Yeah. More to follow.
I love how your career is more important than your life.
Look, I'm just reading what is written here. He says, he ends with more to follow. See you tonight.
Oh, what?
So that's weird, isn't it?
Who is it? Who do you think?
I don't know. Well, apparently he's been following me around and he's got a little, he's put a stamp here, MIB.
MIB.
Men in Black. Really? So he'd be the guy that ran into me at that alien con.
But the thing that concerns me, though, is if you're, you know, so prepared to become a 00, which is a spy, which there's somebody spying on you and you don't even know. Surely this is something, this is what I'm talking about. How much would you pay to be one? Because clearly your skills are lacking. You like somebody's writing you a letter and following you everywhere.
Yeah. Look, for a start, you're asking me to become the world's most famous spy.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think receiving the odd letter from someone's not really going to be an issue. We're talking about James Bond here, who can't leave the house without people going, "Morning, Bond."
That's a good point.
James. Shaken, not stirred, mate? No, I'm not having a drink just yet. And you'll notice from that sketch, it was my voice as Bond, which wasn't old, no teeth.
Yes, well, I wasn't asked to be on that sketch.
Can you get out of my house, please?
Yes, absolutely. I was just passing on a message from Miss Moneypenny.
Yes, what does she want?
She liked the screen share, and she's sorry she had to go.
Okay, fine, thank you. I was actually taken through to M's office, if you remember what was happening. Why does she have to go?
No, she's on lunch.
She's on lunch. Well, that's great. I'm glad she's gone to have some lunch. Can you leave my house?
Yes, sorry. Sorry, good to see you again, sir.
God, bloody, he's following me. Maybe he wrote the letter. I think he knew where I was living. Now, fairies.
Fairies. Oh, my God, we got here at last.
Oh, God. It's just a couple of minutes, and then I've got to get on to this poem.
So when we decided to do fairies, we're basically for the poetry, because you had a really good word that rhymed with fairies. I know which one we should do next week.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, we won't be doing Bigfoot because I couldn't think of any rhymes. So don't, you listeners, don't get upset. Don't expect it. Think of cryptids that are easy to rhyme with, and then we'll probably talk about them. Chupacabra, no show. Absolutely no, no chance.
Sasquatch, though. Sasquatch, easy. Yeti.
Yeti, easy.
Yetis, yeah, I think we should do Yeti next.
It's like, I just want to know how you're going to link the Yeti to spaghetti, though. How is that?
everyone's holding their breath.
Okay, so Reese, if we're going to start with fairies, I think it's only fair that you start in explaining exactly what fairies are.
Well, it's a big question, isn't it? I mean, most people, when they think of fairies, they think of Tinkerbell these days. They think of a little pixie thing with wings that flies around. And of course, you remember back to that very famous photograph, which I think turned out to be a hoax. I'm not sure. Of the fairies that were found in the back of someone's garden. Remember that? I think the photo, do you know, Dan, the date of that?
Yeah, yeah. They were called the Cottingley fairies. And they were found by two girls. One was 16 years and one was 9. And that was taken in 1917. And they were amazing photos to see online. They're black and white, obviously, in 1917. So they're super early days of photos. And it's two girls in a garden with little fairies around them. And at the time, very convincing to a lot of people, including Arthur Conan Doyle, author of Sherlock Holmes, who was convinced.
Oh, he believed, yes.
He believed completely that they were real. And unfortunately, they were proved to be a hoax. In fact, the two girls were, I think, almost ready to admit that it was a hoax immediately, but they were too embarrassed to admit it because once Conan Doyle had said he believed in it, they thought, oh, God.
Yeah.
We're going to make him sound like a complete mental.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder, as a side, did he lose any credibility after, or maybe in his lifetime, the hoax was not... Oh, when did you say the hoax came out on that?
I think he passed away by the time they admitted to it. I think people knew it was a hoax at the time, but he was very much into spiritualism and the afterlife, and he was an outspoken person for clairvoyance, and his wife believed in that as well. So he was very much part of the mystic world, and so if it did damage his reputation, I don't think it bothered him because. And at that time, mysticism was a bit bigger as well, wasn't it? You weren't seen as mad. You were almost seen as mad for being the skeptic.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, mysticism, the afterlife, being able to talk to spirits—that was the new rock and roll. While he was alive, it was a big deal. And I was just thinking while we're talking about that he won't necessarily be turning in his grave with the idea of the new animated movie Sherlock Gnomes. because you think maybe he would, but what have they done with my books now? But because he's actually into these kind of things, you'll probably go, oh, about time. I was actually going to write that.
He'd be like, damn it, I missed a trick.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I should have been doing.
So cool. So just getting back on track, you know, this folklore on fairies seems to have been around forever. One might even argue that they are the original cryptid because you know, it's really, we're looking round about right back to the Middle Ages and even perhaps even earlier. And back then, of course, they weren't necessarily just the little tiny things we're talking about now. In fact, they are the same size as humans. And
what?
Even bigger. even bigger. Back in those days, well, this is what they've derived from. And if you think of elves, okay, because elves derive from the fairy folk. Elves, really, really, Tolkien is responsible for kind of helping that idea of making them bigger, creating the elves, the elf people.
Right, yeah, right.
In fact, from Elfland, if you do a bit of research, you'll find Elfland and Fairyland is often the same thing. Really what it is it's mythical or mystical, I should say, beings who live in a parallel universe. That's really what fairies are all about. They live in another world, but can cross over into our world.
Right.
They're in the same vein as also brownies. Have you heard of brownies? They're kind of like an uglier, hairier version. Small, they're like a household spirit. And they're thought to be shape-shifting and interdimensional. And it's the same with fairy folk. And that's why we're sort of branching out to even to gnomes. It's really the whole little people realm. And if we think fairies as cryptids, then we see them as a race of hidden people. And this is another idea going back to the 15th century, where fairy folk were actual humanoids living in the forest that were perhaps an offshoot of humans. Yeah, so if you go into the forest, you know, don't go in there. You'll be taken by the fairy folk, these mystical people who will capture you.
And probably the fairies are probably sitting there saying, don't go out into the open because the humans they'll get you, those scary human things.
Yeah, and they have round ears, so don't go.
The scary
round... pointy.
The roundies.
Yeah, the scary round ears, and they're not as pretty as us. So that's the other thing with fairies. They're always depicted as quite beautiful. And when you look at the elves, that's the same thing with their very, very beautiful faces, large eyes, which helps with their alluring quality. So if you get caught up with these elfin folk and get drawn into their world because you're attracted to them, and if they say, come here, come and have a look what I've got, and you'd probably go, wouldn't you? And then you'd be gone.
Be hard not to.
Anyway, I felt like I've spoken too much. Buttons, what have you got?
Well, so the thing that I found out about fairies is that it's really quite important to, you know, sort of know that there is these two different levels of good and evil going on between them. And then going on to all of these other fairy tale creatures, if you like, there's actually a lot of dark and evilness to them. You know, a lot of the eyewitnesses that I've been looking up, particularly in around gnomes, have some terrifying, almost kind of ghost story type elements to them.
Really?
Yeah. I have actually found an eyewitness account of a couple of fairies that's on YouTube, and I thought maybe we could kick off with that. So I'll just, if you could just get Miss Moneypenny back in the room, because I just need to share the screen.
Well, I'm at my place now, and it's a bit weird to sort of get hold of her. I mean, she's at lunch. I mean, I guess I could get old Bond to come back.
I'd prefer he didn't come back, actually, if that's all right.
Do you watch me? Hello, I was just out.
Where were you?
Just outside the door.
I told you to leave. Well, you've just been literally outside this door?
Yes, since you said I had to go away.
Well, you, that's weird. You were sort of waiting to come in, were you?
Yes, just in case you needed me again.
All right. Well, now that you're here, can you go? We're interested. Buttons wants to talk to Miss Moneypenny.
Yes, I will. She's on lunch.
Yeah, I know that. Could you grab her and bring her back here before she's got to shoot back to work?
Yes.
Good. Well, off you go. Thank you.
Well, I shall get Miss Moneypenny. Thank you.
Right, well, he's gone to get her.
Thank God he's gone.
Does he scare you?
He scares the shit out of me.
Old Bond. You don't like Old Bond?
No, you know.
Yes, hello?
Oh, God, he's back. Sorry, no, we're just talking about you.
Oh, yes, you didn't want to see me again?
No, now you go and get Miss Moneypenny.
Yes.
Yeah, good. God, he hangs around that door.
I'm kind of concerned. He's the guy that's supposed to be saving the world from nuclear the evil geniuses with nuclear bombs. he can't even get the secretary from lunch.
Yeah, but he's very old now, and he's dottery. That's why he's retiring. That's why they're looking for a new Bond, which I have had a meeting about, which I'll discuss later.
How much did that cost you for the meeting?
You're kidding me.
Okay. Okay. This is a fairy encounter that happened in Perthshire, which is in Scotland. And so this is a gentleman that had, well, I'll let him say it in his own words.
Oh, what have you got there?
Oh, great. Another eyewitness account. Account.
It was 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. It started getting kind of remarkable. And then out of this blue sky, a kind of wisp of cloud came across. And gauze-like, I think, would describe it. You could easily see through it. You know, but it kind of drifted in. And so I was watching that, thinking, yes, that's nice, enjoying the scenery. And a very small amount of dew vapour sort of came down from that. You know, you could just see the sort of tiny drops. With the sun behind me, Shehalion before me, it cast a rainbow sort of right over Shehalion. I was like, yes, it's wonderful. There's a stream between me and the mountain, and I was kind of tinkling away. And I started to hear it as music, as I suppose what you'd term as fairy music, kind of Irish harp music or sort of some Scottish music of some kind, sort of stuff. And on the edge of my vision, I kind of caught a movement with my eye, looked down, and there's this small guy, a wee fellow, I suppose you'd call him, be about 4 foot high. But what it's about is rolling my shadow up, is at my head, is about halfway down the head. Kind of, it's very busy, business-like, rolling away at my head. And then kind of lower down, I saw it, he kind of looked at me, and then, you know, his eyes dropped. My shadow's quite long, 40 yards or whatever, but, you know, I could perceive that he kind of looked down at my feet. And I looked down to my feet, and there was his female counterpart, a pair of silver shears, you wouldn't call them scissors, really, they're like, sort of like sheep shears or something, like old-fashioned things. And she's working away around my toe, sort of cutting the shadow off at my toe. You know, my sensation was this, you know, like, what? You know, what's going on here? You know, this is outrageous. And then, you know, I just sort of went, oi! You know, it's just like that, oi. And he looked at her, and she looked at him, and poof, you know, it was gone. It was just gone.
And do you remember what they looked like? Do you have a detail?
Oh, yeah. They weren't bearded. There was some facial hair. The one being closer, I could see the facial hair on her, and you know, that was substantial, if you like, but not what you'd call bearded. Filthy, you know, like... You know, I'm a builder, my hands get dirty, but these fingernails were... You know, they were seriously, seriously in bad shape. Could do with a wash. The clothes were all made of leather of some kind of like chamois leather. Small hats kind of sewed together quite crudely, kind of a smock tied around the middle with some kind of fabric underneath it. And equally manky. I've many times tried to recreate, you know, the kind of feeling of I've wandered through the hills in a lackadaisical fashion, you know, waiting for something like this to happen again. But nothing, yeah. Drawn a blank every time. I've seen rainbows, you know, I've heard streams, you know, but I've never heard, you know, like that music. I've never seen a cloud appear from out of a blue sky from nowhere and you know, produce a rainbow to entrance me.
Wow.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, I mean, my connection wasn't great, but did he say that the two of them appeared, one from across the way and then a female counterpart down by his feet?
Yeah.
And she had some scissors. was trying to cut out a shadow or something?
His shadow. So the male gnome was at his head, rolling up his shadow, and then there was a little female gnome down at his by his feet, starting to cut out the feet like they were cutting out his shadow. Wow. It's almost like Peter Pan-esque, you know, we're like they're trying to steal a shadow. And the thing is that this is actually from a document, that's an excerpt from a documentary called The Fairy Faith. And it's a little short documentary. It's really good though, because it has these people like that you look at him and he looks like a totally credible guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he would be on hallucinogenic drugs, and you know, he's just going for a walk in the highlands and he's had this experience. And apart from the fact that he sounds like he should be mates with your mate Bond.
Old Bond.
He sounds like he had a completely credible and legit experience. And there's actually a society called the Fairy Investigation Society, and they've been around since basically about 1912 and have amounted 450 odd fairy encounters over the years. So there is still lots and lots of like fairy gnome type encounters. So they're still happening today. And incredibly, a lot of them are happening in America.
Really?
Yeah, particularly gnomes. And there's some really spooky encounters in and around barn houses on farms. And it's quite a common thing. There's one example of a farm that had some people move into, and around 2004, a family moved into a farm. All of the animals just wouldn't go near this barn, and they would give it a wide berth when they're walking near it. If they tried to take an animal into a barn, it would be, you know, rearing up and freaking out. And then after a little while, the occupants saw this little gnome, this really ugly little gnome with a really sort of jaggedy teeth, brown smile and deep sunk eyes, and was just sitting there laughing. And they saw this gnome multiple times terrorizing them. After a while, they moved out of that house, and very much like all of these great ghost stories, another family moved in 2010, and without knowing any of the previous stories of that family, they had started having exactly the same experiences. They put in a fish pond, they would sort of see this little gnome there giggling away at the side of the pond and eating the koi fish straight out of the pond, you know, and even going around and messing with, they had actual garden gnomes in their garden, and they would see it over by the other gnomes sort of mucking around with them and smashing them and what have you. So like these are, you know, as recent as 2010 in America. So wow. Yeah, the eyewitnesses are still happening.
Amazing. I just didn't I didn't factor in that globally that would still be a big thing, fairy sightings. Just it's amazing that that's so prominent and that there's societies looking for them, and it's very cool.
Yeah. And of course back in the day, you know, like I said earlier, the fairy folk was simply sort of encapsulated as the other. You know, it's not so you've got to get, it's hard to get that kind of Tinkerbell image out of your head. But if you disregard Disney whatsoever, and even with gnomes, I mean, what made them less evil? How could they? So, and what did popular culture do? They put little funny hats on them.
Yeah,
you know. And even gave them miniature fishing rods to make them more fun. But
yeah.
the reality is, and like this chap here from this eyewitness account, is that, you know, if these things are real and they can transcend dimensions, then like any species, there's got to be good and evil. And if some bad ones, there's a guarantee that some bad ones are going to come through at some point.
Well, that's right.
And steal the fish from your pond. That's probably where the fishing rod thing came in. Yeah. I bet that's part of the folklore, is that they do love eating our fish.
Well, can't. Yeah.
And they say it's interesting. There was a study done in 2014, a census on fairy sightings. And they said that there seems to be a trend more recently that alleged fairy sightings are getting nastier, more sinister and ominous as time goes by, with reports of small but aggressive fairies, tree monsters and grumpy gnomes dressed as Oxford scholars.
I mean, when was this? When was that published?
2014.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because they did film the Harry Potter movies in Oxford, largely. They might have seen some of the names in that, outside the trailers. I wonder, the more I'm hearing about fairies and thinking about Tinkerbell in Peter Pan, I do actually wonder which way round it is. Did J.M. Barrie and Disney do a lot of research that is actually incorporated? Because if this guy's saying that he saw two fairies trying to cut a shadow off, I mean, has he been influenced by Peter Pan, or is it the other way around? Is that a thing that fairies do?
Wow, yeah, true.
Do you remember in the movie Hook, there's a moment where Tinkerbell wants to kiss Peter Pan, Robin Williams, and able to grow herself in an instant to
that's
the size
right.
of a human.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot out of her, but she manages to sort of break into whatever it is that she needs to do. So I wonder if that's actually an incredibly well-researched story. People feeding off it? I don't know.
It's definitely that way around. I think intense research is done. And it's also folklore, but particularly when you are creating anything fantasy, you deal with historical facts and myths, because that's the base of the character. That's where. And so the cutting out of shadows, and also the shape shifting, which is what I mentioned earlier, is what these mystical creatures who come from another realm are supposed to be capable of doing.
Yeah. Hey, little movie nugget. Just while we're talking about Hook. So the screenplay was written by someone, but the script, specifically the dialogue for Tinkerbell, was written by someone else. Do you know who wrote it?
No.
It was Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia.
No way.
Yeah. She was a script doctor. Outside of being an actor and an author, she used to go and rewrite scripts, and she was brought in specifically to do Tinkerbell and Hook.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Nice nugget. All you needed to do there, if you could have just dropped a Nazi in there, Shribes, then we could have done your little sting. Shribes just got away with it again. Shribes.
I do also have a couple of fairy facts. My favorite fairy I've discovered. I quickly get to that before the poem?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got two favorite fairy facts. Here's number one. Between 1658 and 1663, there were four deaths that were registered in Cumbria in England. And those four deaths that were registered in the record read as frightened to death by fairies.
Wow.
What? You're kidding me.
Officially, there were four casualties written down in a book in the parish of Lamplu in Cumbria.
Wow.
Fairies.
I was just going to say that ties in nicely with the idea that it seems to be almost more evil intent from the fairy world than a positive nature.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So these people were scared to death by them.
But they could have, at the same time, we don't necessarily know, they might have been nice fairies going, hey, how's it going? But the shock of seeing them.
But also,
they might be evil. True.
Well, actually, now come to think of it, maybe the tooth fairy all along, you're not supposed to actually be leaving the tooth that have fallen out under your pillow. Maybe the tooth fairy is actually something that came and just ripped teeth out of your mouth at nighttime. Maybe we got this all wrong. Maybe that we've sort of...
Thanks very much, Stephen King. children listen to this.
Sorry. No, that's not true. That wouldn't happen at all. That would not happen.
Fact number two?
Yeah.
Fact number two is that, do you guys know the dog corgis? You know how, like, the Queen of England used to have her corgis?
Yeah.
It is said that in Wales, how the same way that we would ride horses into battle, fairies used to ride corgis into battle.
Oh, wow.
Really?
That is a very cute image.
Well, I mean, and it's a very tied in image to the possibility that there's the myth of it is it's not someone just saying, oh, wouldn't that be interesting if this was the case? The word itself, corgi, is G, which is dog in Welsh, and cor is dwarf. So it translates as dog of the dwarves.
Oh, wow. There you go.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the story is that there were two tribes of fairies who were going into a big battle, the Twywith Teg and the Gwillion, and it resulted in the death of the Twywith Teg. So two children who were walking through the woods in Wales happened upon a Twywith Teg funeral procession that was going on. And the gifted, the little surviving Twywith Teg gifted these corgis that were no longer needed by their warriors to these two children. And and the markings on a corgi, they say if you look at the pattern on the side of a corgi, it's in the same shape of what a saddle would look like, because that's how the saddle used to sit on them, which the fairies used to ride them on into battle.
This is
fascinating. And isn't it great that it seems to be obvious now that why the queen has corgis, because they were a gift from the fairy folk. And when you think about corgis, there's not many other people who have corgis.
No.
They're not the obvious dog to go for.
But also, they're actually really quite an aggressive wee dog. I mean,
they're a battle horse for fairies.
Yeah, exactly.
My sister had her lip chewed through by a corgi when she was a little kid. They just jumped up and bit her through the lip. It was, cute, angry bite. You know, it's
how like, old was she?
11 or something.
Oh, she's quite tiny. Was she into fairies? Did she have a fairy vibe? Because a lot of young girls do, and those battle corgis, they're just harking back to the day of running through the forest and attacking.
That's quite possible. That is quite possible.
See how everything's linked, guys?
Yeah. Oh, I can see that now.
All right, well, just a couple of last sort of fairy theories and ideas. First of all, I'll say that fairies, fairy folk, little people, any of that nature, are more likely to be found at either dawn or dusk. Did you know that?
No.
And usually around sacred places. And dawn and dusk is the time when the dimensions converge. You ever want to travel to another dimension, you're more likely to find the entrance way at dusk or dawn. The bridge between worlds is accessible at that time.
I've never heard that before.
Okay. So no, that's news just in.
Where is that from? Is that your theory or is that?
Well, no, that's written down in the ethos, in the internet and stuff. Yeah. And the other thing I'll say is, and this is more of my theory, is that if we hark back now to, and I've been saying, get that image out of your mind. But if we go to Tinkerbell again, we've started with Tinkerbell, so let's end on her. Also, have you heard of Will-O' the Wisp?
Yeah.
Yeah, little lights.
Mm.
Okay, so that's a similar sort of thing, isn't it, when you think of Tinkerbell? Will-O' the Wisp.
Yeah.
Ghost lights, they call them in America. Yeah. Jack-o'-lantern type lights in Ireland. But without going too much into that, you can actually also think about orbs, can't you? You think about orbs, very similar kind of thing, all related. And then when you think about orbs, you think of crop circles because they're done by tiny lights, by tiny orbs.
Yes.
And basically what I'm trying to say is it's aliens.
Wow.
The whole time.
You got there. You got to aliens. Wow.
Ocean, I've just received another letter.
Another letter's coming.
It's another letter from... Oh, dear Mr. Darby, it's no name available here again. Just heard what you said, and if I was you, I'd make a run for it. Oh, and he's just delivered that. See you tonight, he says at the bottom.
How did he get past Bond?
Yeah, that's
how did he get past old Bond?
Old Bond isn't showing up again. Hello, anyone there?
Old Bond is your guy. It's right in front of your face. He's your guy following you around. I've been saying this since the start.
You think it's Old Bond?
Yeah.
Hello?
Old Bond!
Yes, what's going down?
Is it you writing these letters to me?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Just have a look at the handwriting. Oh, no, I think I haven't got handwriting that good.
Your voice is changing too. You've gone weird.
Yes, well, my teeth are coming out. I've got to go to the dentist. No, listen, I've got Miss Moneypenny here for you.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, hello.
Hello. Hello, Rhys. I was just having lunch. I've got a couple of minutes.
Good.
Here's your receipt.
What?
Your receipt. Well, don't talk about that. Remember you paid me to get an interview to be Bond?
Oh, shut up. We're on air here. Get out.
Oh.
Sorry, Miss Money, but you weren't supposed to reveal that information. He paid $900,000 to have an interview with you.
Get out, both of you! Oh, God!
It's okay.
I slammed the door and my picture fell off the wall.
Oh, no.
It's okay, it's not damaged.
Oh, lucky.
The frame's slightly damaged, I better hide that. Okay. I better go. As I say, things are really happening here. So I'll do this. I've got a poem to read.
Okay, here we go.
Wait. One more thing before you do.
Mm-hmm.
What? How do we get the word fairy tales?
Because, as I did hint on this.
Thank you, Dan, for remembering that.
Well done. As I did hint on this earlier, that fairies is the original cryptid. So when you're talking about the tales, it would be called a fairy tale because it was always about the mystical or mythical creature that could usually come and take you away. And that's what they were kind of stories to scare kids. So they were called fairy tales. And then as
and
we've gone
into other stories. And
yes, exactly. Oh,
That makes sense. That makes total sense.
All right. So here's a poem I've written. I hope it's good. It's going in the book. I stood beside the garden deck, eyeing the flowers below, when suddenly I fell away, to Elfland I did go. Great to see you, Mr. Man, we've been expecting you for a while. The fairy folk have been watching you ever since you were a child. What is this realm, I said to Plonker, the tiny little elf. It's where us tiny people live, beyond the garden shelf. We want you to please to be our king. Now that you've come of age, and all the things you say and do, they really are the rage. listen, Plonker, I can't stay long. I'm a big deal back at home. So off I went, with him in hand, my brand new garden gnome.
Oh.
Wow.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
I'm a big deal back at home. Now I'll go back to the world. I've got an interview for Bond.
can all of your poems from now on just get that line in there? I'm a big deal back at home.
What I'm going to try and do is make the poetry about these different cryptids. It's usually I'm going to star in them. And I'm going to meet them or whatever, and then it's about me trying to get back home because you know, I'm a big deal.
They all want you to be the lord of their kingdom.
that's the loose theme that we're going to.
That's a good loose theme.
But yeah, I guess.
It's a great poem. I can't wait for this book to come out.
And it's worth just saying to everyone that when we tried to start the show, we took about 15 minutes working technical problems, and you just started writing. That poem.
Yes. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, thank you. All right. Well, that's it for this week. That's fairies. I think it was very interesting.
Well, and the truth is that we only really scraped the top of the fairy issue because we didn't even talk about Reykjavik and Iceland and the fact that they've made highways around rocks that they believe have fairy communities in them and stuff. So there's so much more to go into depth on, but we're going to have to do this subject again. I think we've proven that there is a lot of content here.
Yeah, I love it, and there's a lot more rabbit hole to go down, and I think you're right, a part two on fairy would be great at a later date.
And if anybody's seen any out there, make sure you touch base with us.
Yes, that's right. And hopefully I'll be back next week if I'm not the new Bond.
Or the king of the fairies.
Depends how much money I've got in the bank.
All right.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.